we are. This is Real World Radio on air. www.realworldradio.fm.
Interview with Ilham Rowett, coordinator of the Permanent People's Tribunal in session in South Africa. The Permanent People's Tribunal, PPT, on transnational corporations and the rights of the people and communities started its sessions on August 17th in Johannesburg, South Africa, believing that the current situation of defenselessness of communities with reference to the actions of transnational corporations requires other mechanisms that give way to justice. Ilham Rowett, the coordinator of said PPT, was interviewed by Real World Radio through Via Campesina Africa's Boaventura Mondlane. At the tribunal organized by the Southern Africa Campaign to Dismantle Corporate Power, 8 communities of the region will present their cases about the impacts on transnational corporations on their livelihoods, territories, and human rights. They will also offer testimonies on the financial consequences of the illicit financial flows coming from the continent, money that belongs to African people and that should be used to meet their basic needs. Land, food, and agriculture are the key issues to be discussed at the tribunal in 2017, which will focus on the impunity of transnational corporations and their role in the destruction of food sovereignty, land, and life, and on cases such as the stealing of seeds, land grabbing, and physical degradation and sexual violence against women and communities, as well as diseases and environmental destruction.
The Southern Africa Campaign to Dismantle Corporate Power is holding the second session of the Southern Africa Permanent People's Tribunal on Transnational Corporations. The tribunal is taking place from today for 2 days at the Old Women's Jail at the historical Constitution Hill in Johannesburg, South Africa. To tell us more about this event, we have with us Ilham Rowett, the coordinator of the Southern Africa Campaign to Dismantle Corporate Power, that is, as we said, hosting this People's Tribunal. Ilham, you are talking to the audience of Radio Mundo Real. Can you tell us what is the Permanent People's Tribunal and why is this happening now in South Africa?
So the Permanent People's Tribunal is, as it says, a people's tribunal. So the court systems are clearly not working for people who really need justice. So a people's tribunal is where communities who are all struggling against transnational corporations in this case will present their cases to a panel of jurors on their struggles against transnational corporations. So the way that in their communities people are being affected by companies who commit massive human rights violations, who ruin the environment, where people's health gets terribly affected, militarization of security against of security which oppresses dissent or suppresses dissent, and criminalization of what we like to think of as or call the right to say no. So this is a place where people can not only present their cases to other people from the region and to jurors, but it's a way for them to share experiences and also as a place where they are financially supported and physically supported, and a safe space for them to mobilize, for them to meet other people who are part of the same struggle and create collaborations, because the bigger the collective, the stronger the struggle, right? So it's also, I mean, we're talking about people who often, the way transnational corporations work is that they impact or they operate in areas and therefore impact people in areas who are very isolated, where they can get away with their actions without being held accountable. And in this way, people are, I mean, there are many communities who are dealing not only with the same the same impacts of different companies, but sometimes even with the same company, you know, in the same country, even sometimes in the same region within a country, but lack of finances, lack of support, and the barriers that companies create to stop people from strengthening a struggle or from being able to hold the companies accountable themselves means that it's very difficult. And so this is what the tribunal is about. It's about facilitating a space where communities who are struggling can create a stronger struggle.
Okay. And why is it happening in South Africa, in Southern Africa? And why is it happening now?
So the fact that it's a Southern Africa tribunal is quite special because it's really the first time that something like this happens on a regional level. I mean, there've been tribunals before. I mean, they're regularly permanent people's tribunals. There was just recently one in Barcelona on migration. One of the most well-known permanent people's tribunals is the Russell Tribunal on Palestine. So this is the first one that's happening on Southern Africa that's specific to this region and brings up issues that are specific to this region. So why it's happening in South Africa is because it is one of the highlights of the SAPSN People's Summit, which is a people summit held by the Southern Africa People Solidarity Network as a parallel event, actually more of an alternative event to the SADC Heads of State Summit. So the first session of the tribunal was last year in Manzini in Swaziland, because this was where the 2016 SADC Heads of State Summit was taking place. This year it's in Pretoria in South Africa, so therefore we are having the SAPSN People Summit is taking place here, and hence the tribunal is taking place here.
You just mentioned that this is the second session, as we also mentioned in the at the beginning of this interview. We know that the first session last year was mostly based on or mostly focused on companies that were, you know, extracting minerals, and this one will deal with business that has to do with agriculture and water. Can you tell us about the most, important or the most important cases that will be or that are presented in this session of the tribunal?
So, like you said, last year's was mostly focused on mining, and what we found that came out of those cases was that many of the people leading the struggle, or the people who were mostly affected by the struggle, were women. And it also brought out that a lot of these women are farmers, and women are often the ones who are tending to the farms. And so what we've that made it very clear that we need to look at women quite a bit and quite specifically in the tribunal. And that sort of automatically meant that we'd be focusing on land, food and agriculture, because they went so hand in hand. So the cases that we'll be having this year are, there's specifically one on food input subsidies, which is against, it's women from Malawi struggling against the destruction of their food sovereignty by Monsanto. Then there is a group of women from Zambia who are dairy farmers, and their livelihoods are being undermined by the massive dairy company Parmalat. Then we have the No to Pro Savannah campaign from Mozambique, who are presenting, and the Pro Savannah project is it's been developed and is being implemented by the governments of Brazil and Mozambique, where the kilometers, miles, huge areas of land is being just taken, grabbed by the governments for them to wipe out. Land is grabbed, people are forcefully removed in order for them to sell this land to transnational corporations to use for their industrial, agricultural, corporate, imperialist purposes. And then we've got another really interesting one, which is quite different to the cases that we saw last year, which is about three Tanzanians, one lawyer and two community members, who are going to have a uranium mine built in a rural area of Tanzania. And the same company, Paladin, has a defunct mine in Malawi, also uranium mine. So these people from Tanzania went on a fact-finding mission. It was a church-sponsored fact-finding mission to Malawi. And as soon as they got to Malawi, they got arrested and locked up without charge for 6 months. And it's quite interesting, sort of darkly funny, that one of the people who was arrested was actually just an intern who was doing his holiday work there and was in prison for 6 months. So they're going to be talking about their experience, and there we see again a criminalization of dissent, or even of investigating. So those are three of the cases. Then we've got one specifically on illicit financial flows, which is going to be presented by a group from Mauritius. And the reason that we're looking at illicit financial flows, which is not something that we see directly affecting people as we do with polluted water or land being stolen or people getting ill, the reason it's really important is because the money that companies do not spend on communities because they say they do not have enough. Marikana, for example, where Lonmin said we don't have money to pay the workers, which then led to a massive strike where many mine workers were killed. That was just, that was 12 years ago, and actually the 16th yesterday was the commemoration of the Marikana massacre. So that, for example, where the company said they didn't have money, all their money is sitting in Bermuda. And this is what we see often, is companies find a way to hide their profit and therefore evade not only taxes, but evade wages ultimately by moving their money elsewhere. So this case is specifically on Mauritius, and now Mauritius is becoming more and more of a bigger tax haven, just making it easier and easier for companies to get away with their impunity.
Perfect. We know that this tribunal, the People's Tribunal, has no binding, character. But what does it represent to the people, to the affected people, to the civil society organizations that are also here, to the jurors that will kind of judge these cases? What is the, impact that this tribunal will bring?
So when we look at the impact, I guess we need to look at the different kinds of impacts that we've expected from different processes. So for example, like you said, it's not binding. However, we've got the our court systems, which are supposed to be binding. We've got something like the ICC, which is supposed to be binding. And even though they officially are, I mean, the people who are suffering actually don't get any justice. They don't get any benefit. So the way that this is, yes, it's not binding. However, the benefits that come from this are benefits to the people. And one of the biggest benefits for me is that is the building of solidarity. So it's not often, like I said, that communities get to be in a space like this. So the jurors are very highly respected people. One of whom is Mireille Fanon Mendez. She's the director or the president of the Frantz Fanon Foundation. There is Stefano Liberti, who's an award-winning Italian filmmaker. Gianni Tognoni is amazing. He's a the secretary of the Permanent People's Tribunal, and they are really, they are people who have worked in activism and social justice for a long time, who can, who will hear these cases and ultimately write a really rich document, as they did last year, a really rich document of their thoughts, of their deliberations on the cases, which can then be used by communities in their, in furthering their struggle. So an example is, let's say they do take the legal route, this a document like this will come in quite high standing in a court, for example. But ultimately, it's something for people to use to strengthen their struggles themselves without the assistance that that seems that people often think is needed of the court system and the official sort of conventional systems that we use for justice.
Yes, we will obviously have a very interesting session, I guess, from what you are telling us. We hope to send another report to Radio Mundo Real, most probably on one specific case or several specific cases. Thank you, William, for talking to our audience, and we hope to have you with us next time.
Thanks, Paul.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.